Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, he does.
Isn't that wonderful? Jesus loves us.
Yes.
Yes. And I love that last part, the Bible tells me so.
Yes.
And what's wonderful about that is the Word of God will never change.
Yes.
It will never change. So you know what? He's always going to love me.
Yes.
He loves me when I'm good. He loves me when I'm bad. He just loves me. Isn't that wonderful? Amen.
Hey, thank you, Jesus. I know we're running late, but I think I'm supposed to say this. My prayer.
Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Verse 30. They left the place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. Ladies, isn't it wonderful that Jesus never tells us they're going to crucify him without telling us he's going to rise again?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? Tell you what, the cross of Calvary is wonderful, but it is confirmed because he was risen. He was risen from the dead. Isn't that wonderful? That just makes the cross absolutely perfect. You see, he took all of our sins, but the reason that he took all of our sins and what makes the resurrection so important is that he now lives and he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for every one of us. And he has become our advocate, and he is the only one that can, because he says, "Wait a minute, I died for that person there. I died for Sally. I died for Marilyn. I died for Georgia. You know what? I died for them. My grace and my blood is going to cover what's taking care of them." Doesn't that make the resurrection just wonderful? Yes. Oh, I'm telling you, ladies, if we could get a glimpse of what Jesus Christ is doing on our behalf, what he did for us at the cross, and what he is carrying through to completion, it would change our lives completely. It would change everything that we are looking to do. Because we understand that he took every bit of our problems, every bit of our issues, every bit of our sin, our guilt, our condemnation, you name it, it's gone. It was put on Jesus Christ on the cross. And after he took every bit of the sin, he said, "It is finished." It's done. And nobody in this room who has accepted Jesus Christ has to carry a single bit of that. Isn't that wonderful? It's done. Ladies and gentlemen, we're perfect.
Yes.
Everybody say it with me. I'm perfect.
It's very hard to say.
But I'm perfect not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. He took my sin and gave me the gift of his righteousness. And his righteousness is absolutely perfect. It was the great exchange. How about it? So you know what? I am perfect. I'm not perfect because Georgia is perfect. I'm perfect because Christ is perfect.
Amen.
And I am covered with his righteousness, and I am in Christ Jesus. Now, understand, he's saying to them, look, this is what's going to happen. They couldn't understand it. It's interesting. If you go back, if you remember when we were in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, he said to them, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He had just told them that. Mm-hmm. And now he's telling them again, and guess what? They can't understand it.
Because they couldn't imagine that happening. You think, couldn't grasp that actually happening.
That's exactly, think about it. How many of us still doubt it? How many of you have doubted your righteousness today? We still don't understand it a lot of times. We still beat ourselves up. We still carry around guilt and condemnation. We still carry around all kinds of issues because we don't recognize that he was crucified, he took every bit of it, and he has risen from the dead and has given us the gift of his righteousness.
Because we don't deserve it.
Right.
That's why.
It's right. It's called Jesus focus. If you focus on yourselves, you're never going to get it. When you focus totally on Jesus Christ, you get it. You get it. Your eyes have to stay on the author and the perfecter of your faith, not on yourselves. Because, ladies and gentlemen,
we're of the flesh.
If we start dealing with ourselves, we're in a whole lot of trouble. But isn't it wonderful that Jesus Christ took care of it all?
Amen.
Every bit of it. Every bit of it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. He took care of my spirit. He took care of my soul, and he took care of my body, all on the cross of Christ. And then he rose again from the dead. And now he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and they could not understand it. When you cannot understand it, you need to get your focus back on Jesus Christ. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom... If you can't understand what's going on, if any of you are struggling in where you should be and what you should be doing and what God is doing in your lives and what he's allowed to happen in your lives, you know, I'm in that situation right now. I had a crazy day today. You know, and just...
We would let it go.
So a lot of you have had a crazy day today, right? I mean, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, man, what has just happened? What's going on here? And you find all of a sudden that your surroundings are in chaos. But you know what? When you start focusing on Jesus Christ and you recognize that you are in his arms and you are in his care and absolutely everything is in his control and that he is still sitting on the throne, I'll tell you what. It's his problem. That's for God to take care of. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. He'll take care of it. How he does it doesn't matter to me. But he will. But he will. Okay, who is the greatest? Who's the greatest?
Jesus.
Boy, I'll tell you what. Are we horrible at comparing ourselves to other people? Are we horrible in doing that? We get so caught up in that comparison and we look at people and we say they're so talented and they're so smart and they're so pretty and they've got it all together and they've got this and they've got that and oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. And we feel miserable about where God has us. But then we go to the next place we're going today and we find out that we're better off than they are, and all of a sudden we're very proud. So look at me. Yeah, we start flaunting, you know, and doing our little thing. And both of them are just completely out. They happen when we focus on ourselves instead of focusing on Christ. And we get so caught up in focusing on ourselves. And we're going to find out. This is very interesting. Now, I love it because these disciples have been with Jesus all this time. They've seen all these miracles on and on and on. And listen to what they start talking about. He's just told them, I'm going to be crucified. He has just got done telling them, I'm going to be crucified. Okay? They came to Capernaum when he was in the house. Okay, so that's the same house in Mark 2:1. That's Jesus' house. So when people tell you Jesus is homeless, he's not homeless. Jesus has a house.
Amen.
Okay? There it is again. He's in his house. He asks them, what are you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way they had been arguing about who was the greatest. Nobody wanted to answer Jesus. Nobody wanted to answer Jesus. Who's the greatest?
Well, he didn't already know what they were arguing about.
Anyway. We're going to find out. He already knew. Yeah, he was just calling them out. Have you ever known the answer to a question and you ask it anyway? Just because you want to call somebody out? Uh-huh. Yeah. You already know the answer, and you ask it anyway. Jesus asked it. He said, you know what? Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Welcoming children equals welcoming Jesus equals welcoming God. But look what he does. Look what he does. They're arguing about who's the greatest. Okay, they don't want to answer him because they've just been caught in a very prideful conversation. They know it's wrong. Jesus had to be thinking, what are these guys doing? I've just told them I'm going to be crucified, and they're arguing about who's the best among them. Okay. They don't get it.
No.
So he says, what are you arguing about?
Thank you, babe.
Yeah, now listen. What does Jesus do? Jesus takes the most vulnerable person in the room, a child. A child has no status. They have no standing in the community. They have no education. They're innocent. They don't have everything. They don't have all the answers. They don't have it all together. And he picks a child out of all of them. And he says, you got to become like this. And when you become like this and you welcome people like this, you're welcoming me. You know, ladies, we're around adult children all the time. In a lot of ways, Norma, I hear you.
You know what, George, I don't want to interrupt what you were saying, but I did have a phrase, and this reminds me, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, public education, you're not supposed to talk about the Lord and all that. Guess what we've been permitted to start, and I'm one of three going to training on Saturday, Good News Club.
Whoa!
And we are going to have Bible study at our school once a week for 8 weeks.
Praise the Lord.
So I'm sorry, but when you said you're okay.
Yes, that's exciting. That's exciting.
I'm sorry.
So listen. We excited?
I'm sorry, Georgia.
You're
still school or don't
we are the only school in the Capital School District doing it. And that's Southover Elementary. So you know, maybe it'll catch on.
It's gonna catch on.
So okay, so there we go. I'm sorry.
That's all right. But think about Jesus said to enter the kingdom of God, you must become like a child. And then he brings a child up in front of the disciples who are proud, who are bragging about themselves, who are showing off, who are carrying on in their prideful attitude. And he's going, look, you got to be like this. You got to be like this. You know, when you think of a child, what do you think of?
Humility.
Humility. What else do you think
innocence.
Of?
Innocence.
Innocence. What else?
Powerlessness.
Powerless.
They're
what else?
Completely dependent.
Completely dependent. That's even better than powerless. They're completely dependent. What else?
Baby.
Loving.
Loving. What else?
Unconditional
love. Let me tell you, what's that?
Needing.
They need. They're totally dependent on their parent. But not only are they totally dependent on their parent, they're very happy about that. And because they're very happy about that, they trust them completely. That has has got to be our relationship with Jesus Christ. We have got to be so dependent on Him, and at the same time, absolutely trusting and believing that He will take care of us.
And happy to be in that position.
Yes, and we love being there. Oh, yes. Well, you know, I don't know, right, I don't know how many of you have ever done it, or had you did it as children, or have had children that have done it, but you've had all your kids, or you've been a kid, and you've stood up on the couch or the counter or something, and you jumped into your dad's arms.
Yes.
You trusted Him that He would catch you. It was fun. You just totally depended on Him, and it never crossed your mind that your father would not catch you. Never crossed your mind. That's what a child does. It's amazing how we get older and we start mixing our own messes into our relationships, and we carry that same mess in relationships over to our relationship with God. And all of a sudden, yeah, all of a sudden we can do it on our own. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden we don't trust anybody because of circumstances in our lives. And we have to recognize that Jesus Christ is completely different than any person you ever come in your life. People are going to let you down. People are going to destroy you in so many ways if you allow it. And even if you don't allow it, sometimes that just happens because that's life. But I've got great news for you. Jesus Christ will never, ever do that to you. You can trust Him completely, and He will just love you and love you and love you. Always, Jesus loves me. This I know. That's right. He just loves me. I can trust Him completely. He is going to take care of me. He just is. Just like you will take care of your children. You know I've told you this before. Yeah, when Jenna was young, she never came to me and said, "Mom, are you sure you're going to pay the electric bill this month? Are you sure, Mom? Mom, are you sure? Are you sure that I'm going to have clothes to wear?" She never once said any of that. She just trusted me completely. She just trusted me completely. And Jesus is saying, we must bring ourselves, get rid of all of that nasty pride, get rid of all of that self-protection, get rid of all of that distrust, get rid of all of that garbage that other people have piled into our lives, remove it completely, focus on Jesus Christ, and trust Him completely. Because Jesus loves me. He loves me. And it's unlike any love you will ever experience. Mm-hmm. Unlike any love you will ever experience. You can trust Him completely. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Georgia, you know, I want to say one more thing.
Yes.
About that. You know, the disciples saw Him physically, but I feel like we have it better because He dwells in us. They didn't have that.
Oh, we're going to get into that in Mark. Yeah, absolutely, we have it way better.
We do.
Yes. We have the Comforter. He said, I have to go so that somebody better can come.
Yep.
And when I send Him, He will be your Comforter. He will be your guide. He will be absolutely everything you need. But He was actually sending part of Himself, which was the third person of the Trinity. So God was sending Jesus, and Jesus was sending the Holy Spirit, and we get the Trinity. How about that? Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.